Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're excited to welcome Stephen Ioano. He is joining us here. He's a short story author and novelist that derives his inspiration from the history and landmarks in Buffalo, New York, which is where he makes his home. He's announcing his upcoming novel, Yesteryear, which will be released this October. And according to Stephen, Yesteryear is a fictional imagining of how Fran Stryker came up with the idea of the Lone Ranger and why he sold the rights for $10. Not many know about him because when Stryker sold the rights, he kept writing for the show. Fran Stryker received recognition from Buffalo for his work on Washington Street by the Central Library, also known as Lit City. It's a banner recognizing Fran Stryker. Along with many other Buffalo-connected writers, Fran Stryker's banner is by the Brisbane Building, where Woolworths once was and where Fran Stryker worked before becoming a writer. The Lone Ranger is celebrating its 90th anniversary this year. We're going to talk about that and also how you can get the opportunity to pre-order the book. The book, of course, is available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookshop.org. And, and we'll tell you other cool ways you can get it. There's also a pre-order signed copy of Yesteryear on Talking Leaves Books. So we'll talk about that as well, and lots more. But first, let's welcome Stephen to the show as our special guest for the next 30 minutes on this episode of Close Up Radio. As mentioned, he comes to us live and direct from Buffalo, New York. Stephen, welcome to Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Very fascinated about your work. Tell us about first what inspired you to want to be a writer, to be an author, to share all of this in the way that you do.
Well, I think all writers, especially thinking about Fran Stryker, we all begin the same way as avid readers. And I grew up in a reading family. My father would read three or four books at a time. My older sisters were always reading, and I'd make them drag me to the library. So it began as, you know, just falling in love with books and stories. And my father was a great storyteller. A lot of his stories actually are in Yesteryear. And from there, I remember I was in high school, and John Irving's novel, The Hotel New Hampshire, was being serialized in Rolling Stone magazine. And I used to get Rolling Stone delivered at my house. And my sister and I would fight over the issues because we couldn't wait to read the next installment from The Hotel New Hampshire. And for Christmas that year, my sister Sue bought me that novel, and I read it. And when I was done, I said, I would like to write something like that, something that makes you laugh until you realize how sad it is. So that was really the first time it dawned on me that, hey, maybe I can write. And then when I was in college, I was a sophomore at the University of Buffalo. I took my first creative writing class, and I was hooked right then.
That's fantastic. What a great story that is, and what a great sort of chain of events. As an author, the books that you've written, you, of course, mentioned Yesteryear, and we'll talk even more about it. Tell us about some of the books that you've written thus far.
Well, the first one is a short story collection called Muscle Cars, and I tell people it's 17 short stories about guys making bad decisions, and it's semi-autobiographical. It was actually my thesis for my MFA program at Queen's University of Charlotte. So when I was writing that book, I was just, you know, trying to get enough good material so I could graduate, to be honest with you. And when it was all said and done, I was going back and looking at it, I go, you know, a lot of these stories are about Buffalo, my hometown. Even if I don't mention the city by name or the setting by name, anyone familiar would recognize local landmarks like Forest Lawn Cemetery or Volker's Bowling Alley or other places I wove in. I thought that was really kind of interesting, but I didn't think much of it. And then my second novel is called Rook, and I was at the kitchen table one Sunday morning reading the newspaper, the Buffalo News, and there was an article there about this man named Al Nussbaum, who was from Buffalo, small business owner. This was in the early 60s. And he'd tell his wife he was going out of town for work, but Al's real work was robbing banks. And he robbed about a half a dozen of them before his wife or the FBI knew who he was or what he was doing. Also a Buffalo guy. So I said, well, I need to write about Al because that's such a great story. And no spoilers, but he does get arrested, and he goes to prison. And while in prison, he became a writer. Mike Shane Mystery Magazine, Ellery Queen, and a Penny a Word guy. And I said, wow, you know, a bank robber who turns writer who's from Buffalo. I said, this is I got to write about this guy. And so I wrote that novel, and about halfway through, I was really enjoying it because half the book takes place on the road with Al's running from the FBI, and the other half is set in Buffalo with the wife and child he left behind. And I was really enjoying writing about the city and the landmarks, the Statler Hotel. And I decided at that point that I said, you know, this is what I want to write about. I think my turf is going to be writing about the stories and the people from this area, kind of like what William Kennedy did for Albany, New York, and what Richard Russo did for downstate New York. Buffalo is going to be my turf. And so from that point on, I was really conscious about looking for story ideas that were could be set in Buffalo or had some connection to Buffalo, and that led me to Yesteryear.
What a great progression. Let's talk a little bit about how, again, Yesteryear, you know, has been received so far, and a little bit more about the storyline for our audience.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. With Muscle Cars, I could tell you where I got the idea for all 17 of those stories. And Rook, like I said, I got it from a newspaper article one Sunday morning. I have no idea how I learned about Franz Stryker and the Lone Ranger. I think I was at a bar or a party, and somebody mentioned that the guy who wrote and created the Lone Ranger was from Buffalo. And I said, there's no way that's true. I said, I would have known about that. I mean, the city is really good about promoting writers and creative artists from the city who still live in the city or have some connection to the town. And you mentioned Lit City in the opening intro. And that the street, Washington Street's just lined with banners of people like Joyce Carol Oates, who's from here, or Mark Twain, who lived here for a few years and was writing Huck Finn at his time. Actually, if Franz wrote The Lone Ranger, I would know about this guy because he would have been celebrated. And so I called the guy's bluff, and I Googled it. And, of course, he was from Buffalo. And not only that, he was from the neighborhood I was living in at the time called the Elmwood Village. He went to high school two blocks from where I was living. He wrote The Lone Ranger at Granger Place, which is just north of me. And I didn't know this man's name, and no one seemed to know. And so I did a little bit more research, and it turns out that he was a local station manager at WEBR, a radio station that's still on the air. And he was also writing radio dramas and selling them across the country to make some extra bucks. This is during the Depression. This is 1931, 1932. He has a young family, a wife, two children. He's supporting about a dozen other members of his family who lost everything during the market crash. And he sells scripts to WXYZ in Detroit, which is owned by a man named George W. Trendle. And he's selling four or five scripts a week to Trendle. And Trendle comes back and says, hey, can you write a Western for us? I think my audience would like a Western. You know, put in all the hokum, and that's the word he used, hokum. Girl tied to railroad tracks, masked riders, two-gun bank robbers. Can you do that? And Stryker, of course, said, of course I can do that. I need the money. And he dug out an old script that he had written 2 years earlier that premiered, that aired on WEVR here in Buffalo, called Covered Wagon Days, and was episode number 10. And he reworked it and introduced a new character called the Lone Ranger. And that premiered in Buffalo 90 years ago this year on WEBR.
Wow, that's incredible. I just love hearing you say all the call letters because that's becoming so, in the TikTok
thing
world,
of the past,
it's becoming
right?
a little bit different. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And
radio
and
it's
all
was so
in how you said
back.
The W.
Yeah. And, you know, radio was so different back then. You know, they had full orchestras. They had actors and actresses who were part of the station that would perform these dramas. They had people like Fran Stryker who would write original radio dramas. So it was totally different than radio today.
Totally different. Theater of the mind on so many different levels. Other than creating the Lone Ranger and the Green Hornet, what else do you admire about Fran Stryker?
What I really admire about Fran is, and I always say this, he's a Buffalo guy. He is a big-hearted guy. And right before the Ranger took off, so this has been on the air for about a year now. It had gotten a sponsor. It was the most successful radio series that Stryker had written, but it hadn't exploded yet, but it was moving in that direction. And Trendle was a very smart businessman, and he knew about Stryker's family situation, supporting all these extended members who had lost everything during the Depression. And he came to him with an offer, because at this point, Stryker was just selling, I think he started selling the Lone Ranger script to Trendle for $4 an episode, and by 1934, I think he was up to $7 an episode or $7.50 an episode. And Trendle went to him and said, hey, how would you like this nice salary, more money than you ever made? I'll give you job security through the Depression. In exchange, you need to sell me the rights to the Lone Ranger for $10. So remember, he's selling individual scripts for $7. And now he was put in a position where he could take care of his family, but if he did that, he would have to give up the Ranger rights for $10.
Wow.
So he was put in a tough decision. And depending how you look at it, his son, Fran Stryker Jr., said he was either involved in the best deal in entertainment history or the worst deal in the entertainment history because he signed the rights away for $10. And, of course, the Ranger exploded. So think of all the novels that Stryker wrote, the Lone Ranger novels, the paperbacks, the hardbacks, the toys, the promotional items, the movies that were out. All that went in Trendle's pocket, and Stryker didn't receive a dime of that. He had a salary, but he didn't have any access to any of the royalties that were being generated. And Stryker never complained. And back to your original question, what do I admire about him is that he handled that whole situation with grace. He never confronted Trendle publicly or privately, as far as I know. He continued writing the Lone Ranger series for Trendle. And even in the 1940s, Trendle started claiming in interviews and articles that he was the one who created the Lone Ranger, not Stryker. And there was a story circulating that Stryker wasn't even brought in until after the Ranger had premiered. And again, Stryker didn't refute any of this. He would tell people, you know, I signed no one held a gun to my head. I signed the contract. I made a decision. I'm going to live with the decision. And if people asked him in private, he would say, well, the people in the radio industry, they all know. They all know it's me. And in public, he would just shrug and kind of say, well, only God creates, which is a nice way of saying, well, he didn't create it either. You know, Trendle didn't create it either. And so I really admire how he just handled that whole situation with grace and dignity. And in 1954, when Trendle sold the rights, he sold it for a record amount of $3 million. So a pretty good return on his $10 investment. And I think he gave Stryker a small bonus, but again, he never reaped the rewards financially. And because Trendle kept telling that lie that he was the one who created it, not Stryker, I think that's why Stryker's not a household name or has gotten the recognition that he really deserves, I think.
That's incredible. You also have the upcoming book, After Pearl. Tell us about that. That's exciting, too.
Yeah, I call Pearl my pandemic novel, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the pandemic, but I wrote it right when we started getting locked down, and I finished it almost 2 years to the date. And both Rook and Yesteryear are historical novels based on real-life figures. After Pearl, it's still set in Buffalo, and it's set in 1942 after Pearl Harbor, but it's purely a work of fiction. And I call it my pandemic novel because during the pandemic, a lot of creative people I know, writers and visual artists, they really couldn't create a lot during that period because it was just so awful and scary. I went in the opposite direction. I turned off the TV and the radio and just escaped into my own little creative world where I can control. And I came up with this character, a private investigator who's an alcoholic, and he wakes up on the floor of the Hotel Lafayette, which is still in operation here in Buffalo, after a five-day bender, and he can't remember a thing. And he takes inventory, and he checks his gun, and two shots from his revolver has been fired, and he has no recollection. And, of course, the police come knocking because there's a singer missing who was last seen with Bishop. His name's Nicholas Bishop. So it was a fun book to write, pure escapism. I remember blogging saying, I don't know if this will ever get published, but it's just good for me mentally and creatively to be working on this now. And my publisher said, what are you working on? And I said, well, I got this detective story. It's just, you know, kind of escapism stuff. And he goes, well, send it to me. And he liked it, and so, which was great. And that'll be out in sometime in 2025.
Exciting. So you've got the wheels are turning, a lot happening, a lot coming up, which I think is amazing. You know, we talked a little bit about some of the things pointing you in the direction of doing the work. What are some other things that also inspired you? You mentioned the fighting over the Rolling Stone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, a lot of it, you know, was my dad. My dad was a great storyteller, especially, you know, when he had a few drinks and my mom wasn't around. That's when the
Isn't
good
that
stories.
Isn't that something, how that always worked?
Yeah. So my dad came over from Greece in the 20s, and back then, all the like a lot of the neighborhoods in Buffalo, it was very, you know, ethnic centers. So the Greeks all lived in this one area of town where my grandfather had a restaurant. You know, what a surprise, a Greek-owned restaurant. And so listening right. to my dad tell stories about the people that would come into the restaurant, the characters, you know, the sailors that jumped ship, you know, Jimmy Slattery, the boxing champion who's in Yesteryear, how he would come in intoxicated, unfortunately. You know, this character, this person, Lefty, who was a dog thief. And I asked, what do you mean he's a dog thief, Dad? And he goes, well, he would steal dogs and sell them during the Depression. So these crazy, wonderful stories. And a lot of those stories I retained, and they made their way into Yesteryear. It's funny. I never met my paternal grandfather. He passed before I was born. But I've heard so many stories about his restaurant that it appears in both Rook and Yesteryear. So I kind of created my own fictional imagining of my grandfather, you know, based on the stories I heard. So the New Genesee restaurant has become kind of a focal point in both of my novels.
Mm, there's always places where people can get the books themselves, and there's quite a few, right, few options. Tell us about that, even opportunity for signed copy, which is exciting.
Yeah, it's that really is exciting. You can get it all the usual places. It's not coming out till October, as you said, but you can pre-order it now through Barnes & Noble and Amazon, you know, your usual places, bookshop. But there's a local bookstore here in Buffalo called Talking Leaves Books, and, you know, they ship all over. And if you go out to their website and you pre-order through them, you'll get a signed copy. I'll go into the store and sign all the copies that are pre-ordered through Talking Leaves, and those will be, shipped out to you in the late September timeframe.
That's terrific. You know, your stories have been inspired by the Buffalo setting. Tell us about Buffalo and what Buffalo means to you, and what are some of the things you like most about Buffalo, New York?
Yeah, Buffalo, it is a unique place, and it has obviously a special place in my heart. What I love about it is the history, first of all. There's still a lot of the old architecture that's still in place. In fact, there's two movie studios being built in the city right now because they have access to all this great architecture. You know, office buildings, banks, even the old houses. My house is 1865, and I'm talking to you from my cupola looking out on the Niagara River. It's becoming a place that television and movie producers are using to leverage not only the great architecture that's still in place, but also they have access to the water, Lake Erie, and the Niagara River, and of course Niagara Falls is just 20 minutes away. So I love the architecture. I love the history of the town. And like I said, my family's been here since we came from Greece in the 20s. So a lot of my family history is rooted here. And that's always fun to explore. My Uncle Gus, my dad's younger brother, I think he's going to be 97 in September. And a couple summers ago, we just videotaped him just talking, just telling stories. What was it like growing up in the 30s? You know, what were prices like? What'd you do for fun? I mean, just whatever we could think of, just to get it down and record it. And that was a fascinating afternoon I spent with my cousins. So I think the history, both personal history and, you know, the history of the city is what's really attracted me to write about this area.
That's fantastic. Again, what a great story to share. And it gives people a deeper understanding of why you love what you do and why it's so important to you as well. What are some other exciting things that you like to partake in to balance out all the writing and, you know, the tenacity it takes to be a writer and the patience and the fortitude and nose to the grindstone?
Well, yeah, that tenacity and fortitude, I can testify to that because it took me about 30 years to get published on a regular basis. Like I said, I started in that first creative writing class when I was a sophomore at the University of Buffalo, but it wasn't until, you know, about 10 years ago when I turned 50 where I started getting published, you know, first, you know, the stories in Muscle Cars, the individual stories, then Muscle Cars itself. You know, it was a long haul, and I never quit. I never gave up on writing because I don't think I could have. It was just something that was driving me to get up every morning at 5 and write. But you're right, it is a grind. And so much of what I love, I'm becoming to realize, is things that are historical. Like I said, I had this 1865 house that needs renovation, so I'm working on that. I'm also antique shopping, so I can fill the 1865 house with, you know, period pieces. I love old movies, which probably isn't a surprise since, I love the old time radios and have written a couple of historical novels. So a lot of it really centers around looking at the past and enjoying what came before me.
That's fantastic. And again, it's all part of the whole inspiration and where you pull, you know, your ideas from and your stories from. You won many awards for your work as well. Yesteryear was awarded the 2021 Islands International Book Award for an unpublished historical novel. Bookshelf also declared Yesteryear as a must-read for 2023. Muscle Cars was a Literary Awards Program winner from the Santa Fe Writing Project, and two individual stories from Muscle Cars also won awards. Swimming Naked was awarded an honor certificate from the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators with an adaptation of Slip Kid, won the Best Short Screenplay Award at the 36th Stars Denver Film Festival, and After Pearl, a 2022 Claymore Award finalist. How does it feel to get the accolades from the peers and from the readers? Not why you do what you do it for the love of it, but it's kind of nice when people recognize, they connect with, and they're in tune with the work that you're providing.
Yeah, it's wonderful. There's no downside to it. Especially after all those, 30 years of being unrecognized and not being published. It always surprises me when I win an award or I'm a finalist for something, or even if somebody comes up to me and said, hey, I read Rook, I really enjoyed it, I passed it on to my brother or something like that, that always is kind of like a little wake-up call. That, wow, this is really happening finally, even on my, in my limited level of popularity. So it's really rewarding. It's satisfying. It's something I don't usually talk about, but it's a great feeling when it happens.
If folks want to make contact and learn more, they can pre-order the book, Yesteryear, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookshop.org. You can also pre-order a signed copy by going to Talking Leaves, that's LEAVES, books. And then also the website, too, and I'll spell the website out for everybody. Get your pen and paper, www.SGEOANNOU.com. That, of course, is Stephen's name. Stephen, this was really terrific. Congratulations on all the wonderful work. The excitement seems to really be brewing. You've got so many things that are happening, all in a forward momentum. Congratulations. Hopefully we'll get a chance to explore some more and hear some more as you go along in the future.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you so much. And it's been a lot of fun talking to you this morning.
You as well. Congratulations, and happy 90th to the Lone Ranger, right?
Absolutely, yes.
That's it. a real pleasure to chat with you. And recently, actually, I had an opportunity to interview Roy Rogers and Dale Evans' granddaughter. Could you imagine that? And the Lone Ranger was brought up.
That's funny, yeah.
Yeah. There's something in the air.
That's right.
You be well, Stephen, and thanks so much for stopping by the show. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you.
You take care. Again, folks, you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookshop.org, also Talking Leaves Books. Yesteryear is the book, but again, you can also go to his website and you can check out all the other works and other things that are coming down the pike that he teased us with today on this episode. We thank him for being with us. We thank you for being with us as well. This is your host, Jim Masters, here on Close Up Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily with another fascinating guest here on the program. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.